Let us get into it for Tuesday morning from JMI Wealth. Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Now, the old business of automation. How many of us are going to be unemployed because of these machines, do you reckon?
Yeah, you talked about this last week, didn't you? You talked about automation and AI a bit, and I thought I'd add a bit of research to that mix, and I'm looking at a pretty comprehensive research report from a crowd called the Brookings Institute. Now, the Brookings Institute is a US think tank, and my take is that they are a pretty reputable one, so we're not talking about a bunch of extremists here. They've got pretty high quality list of trustees, patrons, think tankers, Washington based, been around since 1916. Now, they released a report last week called Automation and Artificial Intelligence. Fascinating reading, Mike, but I think it takes quite a realistic and fairly leveled view of the question of what's the impact going to be on work. And we'll just look at some of the headline findings, because it's over 100 pages of research here, lots of detail. So what they say is that automation AI will affect tasks in virtually all occupational groups in the future, but the effects will be of varied intensity and they will be drastic for some. So here's the numbers they come up with. 25% of US employment, and in 2016 terms, that's 36 million jobs, they will face high exposure to automation in the coming decades, and what they reckon is about 70% of the current task content is at risk of substitution. So, but for the other 75%, 36% will have medium exposure, that's about 52 million jobs, and 39% will have that low, that's about 57 million jobs, will have low exposure. Now, they also look at jobs and states, because this is going to affect different areas. The heartland states, that's where Trump has the most support, they're going to be the most affected. They've got high exposure to manufacturing and agriculture. Those sectors are the ones that will be most disrupted. But I think the most sensible statement through this bit of research, Mike, is they do not foresee dystopian levels of disruption to the US population. Yeah, so the impacts will be very uneven, but for most people, for 75% of the population, life will probably go on as we currently knew it.
No kidding. Now tell me, what on earth has happened here with these migration numbers? I fell off my chair Friday because it had 43, and I thought, 43?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, there's some weird stuff going on here. So this was data released on Friday. Of course, we've had the long weekend, so as far as we're concerned, that was the last day we were at work. Anyway, migration numbers, a big trigger point at the last election, wasn't it, Mike? Lots of concerns about levels of people coming to the country. Well, maybe it wasn't the problem we thought it was. So let me try and explain this. So migration data has undergone a change in methodology in the information gathering process. It's now measured differently. So the official way we measure international migration into and out of New Zealand now is what's called outcome-based. Now, I'm still actually trying to work this out, but I believe the old migration data was based on arrival and departure cards. You know, the ones you fill in when you go through customs. Well, we're now looking at actual passport data, and they have this, what they call this 12-16 rule. So if you're in or out of New Zealand for 12 of 16 months. Now, it's produced some quite different numbers from the previous methodology. So the provisional estimate of annual net migration for the year ending November 2018, 43,400 jobs, plus or minus 1,500. Now, under the old one, 61,800.
Yeah.
That is a significant difference. So under these new measures, we've lost or we've misplaced about 45,000 migrants over the last 4 years. So perhaps it wasn't the problem that we thought it was. No. This has big implications, Mike, in terms of planning, in terms of housing, productivity, the labour market. And so I think we're going to hear a lot more about this, because how many people are we actually catering for?
Why don't they just use a dart and a board and pick a number?
What is it? Was it as big an issue as we thought it was? Anyway,
very good
fascinating
point.
Stuff.
Very good point. What are the numbers Tuesday morning?
Tuesday morning. So the Dow just coming under a little bit of pressure. We're going to talk a bit more about the reporting season this week, but Caterpillar reported out overnight. We're seeing some impacts of the global growth slowdown there. So the Dow under a bit of pressure, down 369 points, 1.5%. Currently 24,370. Also S&P 500 lower. 2626, also down about 1.4%, and the NASDAQ 1.5% down 7050. The FTSE 100, 6752. The Nikkei 20649, these are all down. Shanghai Composite 2596. The ASX 200, they gained 40 yesterday, closing at 5905, and a quiet session on the NZX 50 yesterday, up 49114. The New Zealand dollar quite a bit higher than we were when we talked last week, 0.6836 US, 0.9538 Aussie, 0.5975 Euro, 0.5192 pounds, 74.62 yen. Gold, $1,302.98. Brent crude, $59.56.
Fabulous. You have a good one. See you middle of the week. Andrew Kelleher, JMI Wealth, he and the team at jmiwealth.co.nz.